Welcome to the Monkey House. It's me, Matt Stewart. Just letting you know that me and Saran, our show, has moved. We're at the Grace Darling Hotel now at 7:15. We're in the final couple of weeks of the festival. We'd love to see you there. We had so much fun at the Chinese Museum, but now we're at a new venue. It's a pub. Let's have a beer. I'd love to see you there.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Welcome to Primates, the podcast where we explore primates in popular culture from Chimpan A all the way down to Chimpan Z. I'm your host, Matt Stewart. I'm joined by the official second banana of the show. He's the host of the gaming show about GIMS. It's Evan Munro-Smith.
Hey!
What's the show called? It's called Gimme Gimme Gim? Gimme yeah. Gimme Gimme.
Gamey Gamey Game.
Gamey Gamey Game. That's
yeah, that's it. You're getting it.
Yeah, it's always you'll on the tip that. Of my tongue. I thought I was thinking it was Gimme, 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 the show about greed.
Oh, yeah. We could do that as a spin-off, maybe.
Okay, great. And you just go there and the contestant has to just say, Gimme, 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 and then they have to convince someone else with money to give them the money. Gah, Gimme, 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 Gimme.
Oh, yeah, but all they can say is Gimme?
That's all they can say.
Okay. It's hard to mount an argument with that limitation, but...
Yeah. But you got to really emote.
Yeah.
You got to show them you mean it with your
face
eyes.
Work.
Yeah, exactly.
I was overhearing Beck was doing a Twitch stream and she said that one of her viewers found Gamey Game through Primates.
Oh, that's sick. Nice. That's what you want to hear.
Reaching new people, even though I don't even know how they were able to find the name of the show, given how you introduce it every time.
I link it in the show notes every week.
Oh, okay. And it's on YouTube, typing in Gamity Gimity.
Yeah, is this the most useless plug you've ever had? Every week.
Well, they're determined enough to find it anyway. So
it's gamygame.com, and it's in the show notes. And you should check it out. But yeah, it is fun. About greed. It's the game show about greed. Gimme, gimme, gimme.
Yeah.
But here at Primates, we talk about primates in popular culture, and the current series is about one of the finest pieces of primate-related pop culture that's hit the small screen in recent decades. It is The Umbrella Academy, which features both a chimpanzee butler, or used to, and also an ape man from the moon.
Or yeah, it's interesting. We got a bit of a pogo tease, but last episode there was that didn't come back again.
Yeah, it's been pogo free ever since.
Yeah,
what an absolute ripoff! That's not what we paid for. So the episode we're talking about today is the fourth episode of season two. It's called The Majestic 12, which the name made me excited. I'm like, oh, what the hell's this? I thought it was going to be a new, like a rival superhero gang or something.
Yeah, I thought, what's this? This is going to turn everything on its head.
Yeah, and I guess it kind of did. It felt like it was another episode of a setting up episode. It was the slowest one of the season, I reckon.
Yeah, I agree. Bit of just mystery stuff. I mean, you know, important stuff happened, but it wasn't. It didn't sort of plow things along as previous episodes have.
Mm. There were some good fight scenes. Those Swedish guys were involved.
All the action scenes are good in the show.
We found out that the Swedish guys are brothers. They could not look any less like brothers, apart from the fact that
not just brothers, but triplets. Is that what she said?
Oh, is that what she said? Triplets. Well, there you go. Because the only thing they have in common is their dyed bleach blonde hair, which is unconvincing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that meant to be natural? Weird. Come on.
I don't know. They have their demeanor in common. They've got other things in common.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It's not like you wouldn't be able to pick them as brothers if you saw them in a crowd, say.
These three have nothing in common.
No, they're all pretty weird.
Yes. Anyway, so it's called The Majestic 12.
Yes.
Episode 4, this is the synopsis. While Allison searches frantically for Ray, Vanya contends with a crisis at the farm, and Five Diego and Lila, crash a party at the Mexican consulate. Why can't I? I still don't remember hearing her name, but they obviously say it on the show.
Yeah, I feel like Diego maybe said it at some stage.
Lila. I'm so bad with names, and this show reminds me of that, because I've known all these people for quite a while, and I still battle. Like, every time I say one of their names, I have to think of it first. It doesn't okay. flow out of me.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, so it starts with a flashback in London. Apparently, yeah. It was in 1993, and it showed, it was sort of Lila or Lila's origin story. She was, first we see a couple getting murdered by someone who looks like it might even be old mate Donut Man.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that. But I kept
thinking they were going to reveal his face to be that guy, not Cha-Cha.
I was wondering. I was like, could it be Five? Could it be Sir Reggie? Could it be who's it going to be sort of thing? But that wasn't the reveal.
No. The reveal was that the people who were killed were the parents of a little, maybe four-year-old Lila. Oh, I just figured out then. So she was probably about four. This is 1993.
Yeah.
So she's possibly a miracle baby.
Yeah, maybe. She seems to be the same age as Diego. Mm. But, I mean, there's nothing else to indicate. Well, I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, it'd be a fair coincidence.
Yeah, we haven't seen any powers from her, but it's an interesting little revelation. This is carrying on from the last episode when the big sort of cliffhanger bombshell at the end of the episode was that Lila is the handler's daughter. We were like, what? That's weird. They have different accents.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. The funny thing was I didn't take it literally, but it turns out literally she is her mum.
Yeah.
I thought for some reason it was just like a nickname or something.
Yeah, adopted mother.
But yeah, she is her adopted mother.
So, but we don't have any insight really as to who her parents were or why they were killed.
And maybe why they have different accents. Even though she was brought up by an American, the handler, why does she have an English accent?
Well, this is in London. She was raised to the age of four in London, you'd assume.
Yeah, you don't hold on to a four-year-old accent.
Don't you? I don't know how accents work.
No. Nah.
Our friend
Alistair Tremblay Birchall, he moved from Canada to Australia when he was 13 or something. He kept his accent, but his younger brother, 2 years younger than him, has an Australian accent. So I use that as the rule. It's sort of...
Okay.
Early teens at the that's when you hold on. Any younger than that, it's gone. That's a small sample size, admittedly.
We don't know where the handler raised her though. Maybe she continued to be raised in London.
Right.
Then
why doesn't the handler have an English accent?
Because she was an
she
adult.
She was older than 13.
Yeah, that's it. That's the rule.
Okay.
So we don't know who her parents were. We don't know if the handler was working for the commission. We don't know if this is a commission hit job where they're trying to correct the timeline. We don't know anything about what the context of this scene.
You didn't.
We just know that.
I really thought that they were setting that up to be a commission hit because the headless man. I mean, he wasn't headless. They just never showed his head. Looks so much like Cha Cha's partner, the donut guy. What was his name? Yeah. Such with H, right?
Hazel,
yeah.
I think we assume because the handler's there and there's an assassin basically that it probably
in
is commission
Hazel
related
suit with a Hazel like body.
I didn't pick that as Hazel like straight away, but maybe it was. I don't know. But the point is, we don't have a lot of context here.
No.
It's just a bit of a flashback, but it does give us a little bit of a backstory into Lila. Because then after that happens, after that reveal, we see her upbringing, or you know, a montage of her upbringing, which is pretty full on. So the handler is drilling her, sort of training her to be an assassin. We see her like running a course,
army training course, and the handler is shooting a machine gun at her.
Yeah, it's pretty full on.
Yeah,
and it kind of finishes the montage with Lila a bit older and getting out of a car having killed a guy. So she's a trained killer.
Yeah,
a bit of a worry for Diego, I suppose.
Becomes very clear that she is. Well, and then we come to modern day and she's talking to the handler.
Well, modern day. Present day in the show, which is in the 1960s.
Yeah, 1963, modern day. And it's made very clear that she's in there working undercover. She's formed a relationship with Diego to work undercover, but her new role is to protect number five above all else. And she sort of argues against that, but...
Yeah, well, it is kind of counterintuitive, right? We don't... Why does the handler want to protect five?
Well, my assumption was after season one, number five was probably the most integral person involved in ending the world. So maybe he's going to do that again. Him trying to stop it ends up with the world being ended. So maybe if he dies, it'll be averted. But him trying to, you know, it's one of those, I was going to say self-fulfilling prophecies, but that's the opposite of that.
I still feel like it's a little bit murky. We can probably talk a bit more about this later, but a bit murky as to whether the handler is here on commission business.
Right. Yeah, that is true.
I guess she is, but she clearly wasn't happy with her role when we last saw her at the commission. And we don't really know what she's doing here.
No, like, it seems like that's what we're meant to believe, but yeah, good point. Maybe she isn't, because Leela does mention the three Swedish guys, and that's when the handler says, oh, they're here already. Like, she knew, but maybe she was just playing that up.
Yeah, she caught a bit off. She looked a bit off guard, caught off guard by that.
Why would she be surprised if she wanted them there? Why would she be surprised that they were there already?
Yeah, she says to Leela that she sent them, and I don't... It does seem a bit weird, and as we see later, that like the Swedes are trying to kill five. So if they're working for the commission, why are they trying to kill five? And the handler is, you know, if she's also working for the commission, she's trying to protect five. Obviously, there's something going on here, and we don't know what is going on. But what I do know is pancakes are great. That's all I was thinking about watching this scene. They're eating pancakes, and they just look great.
With maple syrup. Oh, yeah. They look very
good. No donuts this season, but pancakes... They're in.
Yeah, it's a sad thing, the donut-free nature of the season.
I wonder if we'll ever see Agnes again, or Hazel for that matter.
Yeah, where do they... I'd love to see, somehow have them involved so we can see what those 20 years involved. I'd love a montage of those 20.
They should get a spin-off show.
Yeah.
And and Agnes.
Could be a 20-season show. We just live live out their lives in real time.
Yeah, great.
So from there we catch up with Vanya and number five. They're trying to get to Luther. They go to his hostel. Well, five waits in the car. Vanya goes up to talk to him, and she asks him about the apocalypse, because he was a bit coy about it, and she's like, "What?" He feels like he's holding something back, and then Luther reveals that she did basically she exploded the moon and ended life on Earth.
Not on purpose.
She said he stressed it was complicated. He wasn't like blaming her or anything. He was just letting her know, because she wanted to know. And I guess he just wasn't able to keep it from her. And so first Luther punches a hole in a brick wall, like clean through it. And you go, feels stronger than before somehow. Is that new levels of strength?
I think that buildings just weren't built well in the 60s.
Is that true?
I mean, it looked like just a layer of bricks.
You know,
like
when they say
set of bricks,
they don't build them like they used to. That saying actually originated in the 60s.
Oh, right.
No, I have no idea. But maybe that's why. I always thought, you know, the 60s would be... In my head, I was just thinking everything's always been built better previously. They don't build things like they used to. So it's just like slowly getting worse, but that's probably not true either.
Probably no, I think building standards build. Are getting better.
Yeah. But also, you know, some developers, they just are in it for a quick buck.
That's true. Yeah. Well, technology's gotten better. People don't necessarily, you know, spend the money and put in the effort to make things properly.
It's just about effort, you know.
Not like they used to.
Not like they used to.
Anyway, so what's going on here? Okay, yeah. So Luther is he's in pretty bad shape after his fight, and he tells Vanya that that she lost control, but the moon. She sort of not storms out, but she obviously that shakes her a bit because she's just learning this now. What's his name? Jack Ruby, is that his name? His boss comes in very angry because Luther threw the fight. And he cuts Luther loose.
Yeah, he says, "I treated you like a son." And then he and Luther goes, "Please give me another chance," and he doesn't give him another chance. So Jack Ruby. Yeah, I felt like it was an opportunity for Ruby. Ruby should have seen that. He goes, I'll give you one more shot. This will actually improve your odds because you lost the last fight. We'll be able to make more money on you now. That's what I assume was going to happen, but he just cut him loose.
Yeah, I think it does seem short-sighted that Jack just cut him loose. I think he could have leveraged that a bit better.
Yeah,
but
and I reckon in nearly any other movie or TV show, he would have. But for some reason, the plot needed to get Luther free from Ruby so he could be back with the Seven, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose so. It ultimately, we know that this is leading towards them all sort of coming together eventually, right?
Yeah.
Because we've seen it in the future, in the past. So anyway, so Vanya walks off. She at five is down by the car, and she gets a bit pissed at him because he didn't. He kept that from her, the real cause of the apocalypse. So Vanya's a bit sort of, doesn't feel so much like helping anymore.
Yeah.
And goes back to the farm where the family lives that she is staying with. Meanwhile, Allison is trying to track down her husband, Raymond, after the sit-in last night turned rather violent. So she's calling a hospital, and she calls a hospital asking for him, and then she's told they don't treat Negroes there. Is that what?
Whoa,
what
I missed that.
Yeah, right. It was pretty. It was like fucking hell. All right. She hangs up on them.
And that was because based on what his name. How did I miss that?
Yeah,
Jesus.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe
I'm looking for my black husband. Is he being treated at your racist hospital? No. Okay.
Probably a good thing then.
I imagine, like, Allison must still be getting used to it as well. Like how full on, you know, institutionalized. Well, is that the right word? How like ingrained the racism is.
Yeah.
Like I say, I know. Obviously, it's not gone now, but it's just not so out in the open.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. It's under the covers. No, that's not right. She's there with Klaus, right? Because Klaus pulled her out after the because it was basically a riot going on. I suppose it was civil unrest happening in the streets last night because of the sit-in, and Klaus sort of pulled her out of that, and so. Where are they? They're at Allison's house at this point. Klaus is there. Is that right? Or are they at Klaus's house?
Wait, what? When what's happening?
So this is when Allison is making this phone call. Klaus is there? None of this is really important. Anyway.
I don't remember this scene at all. What was I doing?
Allison is regretting. She's talking to Klaus. She's regretting using her power, right?
Yeah.
Because she said, "I heard a rumor," to the police officer who was beating her husband. He walked away. So she regrets that because Ray was obviously freaked out by it, didn't understand it, whatever. But then again, Ray could be dead if she didn't, you know, use her power. So I guess that's the trouble with, the problem that she has at the moment. Klaus, he shares an unhelpful allegory about a scorpion and a frog.
I've heard that recently.
Was it when you were watching this episode?
Yes, that's it. Yeah, it was only this afternoon. No, but I've heard it. I heard it in another show. Someone used it. And the allegory is about a frog and a scorpion. Like they have to cross a river and the scorpion goes, "Can I have a ride on your back?" And the frog goes, "No, you'll sting me." He's like, "Why would I sting you? Then we'll both drown," or something like that. So the frog takes it over and then the scorpion stings him and they both drown. And the frog's like, "Why'd you do that?" And he said, I'm a scorpion. It's just what I do. What was that?
It's in my nature.
Yeah.
Is that kind of
but Klaus didn't even get through all of that. He's just like, and they both drowned.
Yeah.
What's the point of that?
I'm just reading about that now. So the fable does not explicitly state the moral it tries to teach and thus is left to interpretation.
Right.
A common interpretation is that people with vicious personalities cannot resist hurting others, even when it's not in their interest. That seems to be the clearest message from that. I don't know if that really relates. I mean, it's not like Allison, if he's talking about Allison using her power because that's what she is in her nature to do. I don't know. She's wrestling with the idea of whether or not her power is actually good or not, whether she should be using it or should be avoiding it. Klaus, I guess, is saying it's you use it. It's natural, even if it causes, you know, even if it wrecks things. I don't know. I don't know quite what is going on here, and probably Klaus doesn't know what is going on here either.
He's just trying to help.
Seemed
like one of those funny moments where he thought he was saying something deep, and then she's like,
"Yeah,"
and he sort of realizes he's going through it, that he's lost control of it, or maybe it wasn't there after all.
Yeah, probably he's been doing a bit of that as this cult leader that he's turned himself into. So what else happened? So Five visits Diego and Lila at Elliot's place. Elliot's the conspiracy theorist that they're kind of crashing with at the moment, I guess. And he says he knows where their dad is going to be because he grabbed an invitation when they went to the Umbrella Factory to a gala at the Mexican consulate, and it's tonight. So they're like, we can go find Sir Reggie. Diego's recovered pretty much from his stab wound now. Lila, I guess, has just snuck back. You know, she snuck off to this hotel to hang out with the handler overnight, but she snuck back to hang out with the group again. And here they see that the invite is from this guy, a figure in the Mexican government, I think, is it maybe? But Elliot recognizes the name as one of the Majestic 12, which is a secret committee or a shadow government, is I think another way they describe it.
Illuminati so, confirmed.
Yeah. This is Elliot once again being a helpful conspiracy theorist, I suppose. Yeah. It's like, oh, that guy. I know all about this guy. Yeah. And he also explains that only 11 of the 12, only 11 of the Majestic 12 have been identified. And it's heavily implied that Sir Reggie is indeed the 12th Majestic, 12th member of this secret committee or shadow government pulling the strings behind the scenes. Which makes sense. That's not a surprise. He's a very mysterious character.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's... Yeah, it's funny to see him here. Like, we still have no idea what his story is.
Yeah, Reggie. He's so still eccentric. A very mysterious character. Yeah, well, yeah, okay.
Just trying to slide that in. Oh, very mysterious.
Yeah.
Just so eccentric.
Yeah, so that's a big deal. We see, what else? Vanya returns to the farm and Sissy... was obviously very worried about her.
Yeah, so she returns with the broken car because she stacked it when the Swedes came after her. And Sissy's real cool about it. She's like, hey, I don't care about the car. I'm just stoked you're back in one piece. Because she'd been gone for a little while and then called in the middle of her absence as well.
Maybe like what, for like a day? Yeah.
It was at least what she called the next day after she went out for that drive. That was night time. And then the next day she called her from the cafe and Five hung up the phone for her. And then maybe it was still that same day, was it?
Yeah, I can't remember her sleeping anywhere.
No. They normally show that. They normally show the full 8 hours.
Yeah. Well, no, actually, it's the night after Luther's fight. So it is, I think there was a night there. But maybe she crashed at Elliot's place where Five, I guess, is crashing at the moment.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Who knows? They don't go into it. And look, it's not that important.
No.
Klaus goes to a diner. He's, I guess, staking out a diner or something. He finds David or followers in there. I don't know. But he finds his late partner, David, at this diner and sits down with him.
Finds his late partner earlier. Yeah, what a trip. So he's seeing his now dead partner before he met him. And he's trying to convince him not to go to war, which he told us he was going to do.
Yeah, but I assumed it was going to be a bit less direct with how he was going to achieve that.
Surely you just go, hey, I really think you got to consider not going to war. Not joining the army, but going, I've seen the future, you die.
Yeah, but he basically sits down and says, I know you. And he's like, you bought paint off me at the hardware store. He's like, no, I know you, I know. And basically, like, drops a bunch of knowledge about his life, of his family and stuff, which would obviously be quite freaky to hear, and then tells him that, you don't enlist. If you enlist, then there's this big war coming and you will die, basically, which is, I don't know why he expected him to take that well or to believe all of that. It would be a very weird thing to hear.
Yeah.
But then this guy, Brian, so is this guy Brian, is that his, is his this uncle. David's uncle? Yeah. So Brian walks up to the booth that they're sitting down at and is like, who the fuck is this guy? And David's like, he bought pink paint off us at the hardware store. And so Brian straight away is like, well, he's queer, obviously, is what he says. He just calls him a queer.
And then he basically...
which I guess is a...
And then
sign of the times.
Klaus keeps trying to convince him. He said, "Don't go to war. You don't need to join the army." And his uncle Brian goads David into punching Klaus, which he does.
Yeah.
And then Klaus is driven back to booze. He's been off the booze this whole time since he went to the 60s. Yeah. And Ben tries to talk him out of it, but he can't. What a bummer of a scene. And then it's, I often like their sort of psychedelic music montage scenes, but this one was such a downer because you're watching an alcoholic lapse and they're trying to turn it into a fun scene with.
Klaus makes everything fun.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, he makes it look good, of course. I'm not sure what, they make it, it's all in the bottle shop of him just holding up bottles.
Yeah, he's just walking the aisles drinking.
It's more of a shopping montage than a drinking montage.
Yeah. It's interesting that he's been sober for the 3 years that he's been in the 60s.
He's not followed around by legions of ghosts like the drinking was trying to protect him from in the first season.
Yeah, right. But why would that be any different?
Maybe he's just learned to control it now.
Yeah, that's a good point. He's because that big battle, I think, pushed everybody with their powers. And it is a new beginning. I would have thought, hey, the world's ending. I've been thrown back in time 60 years almost.
Yeah.
I'm all alone. Like that feels to me like at the time that you might go back to the booze, but no, it's obviously great that he, I guess, decided to start fresh.
Yeah, start
and
a cult
see it as a new beginning. Start a cult.
Start a fresh cult instead.
Yeah, but even as the cult was not bringing him the satisfaction that he needed from life, he still didn't go back to the booze.
Yeah, that's true.
Even though that would have been very tempting and probably very easy. Like he was in a situation where he was, I guess, wealthy and could have had anything he wanted, and was unfulfilled. But yeah, didn't go to the booze. But this is obviously enough. Like his dead boyfriend punching him was kind of
and probably to, looking like he's probably still going to join the army and die again. Although I wonder without him there, maybe he doesn't die in the same way because Klaus won't be there. So that must be some sort of butterfly. That's interesting effect. But anyway, so Klaus arrived back at his mansion where he's sort of squatting. Or he's sort of squatting, or he's sort of been given it because of his cult leader status.
Yeah, I don't know what the story is there.
But as he arrives, he realizes that all his followers have found him there. So he runs away, throwing all his big bag of booze, shattering it on the ground.
Yeah, because he's being mobbed by his followers.
By the Destiny's children.
Yeah. Allison goes to the salon where the group have their meetings, and Ray is there with the rest of the group who are having a meeting without her. And I find this is a bit... Ray's reaction to her doing the I heard a rumor thing feels a bit unbelievable to me.
He jumps to a pretty wild conclusion.
Yeah,
he believes she's an undercover... agent for maybe the FBI or the police or something.
Yeah. She's in cahoots with the cops, which I suppose makes some... Like, all he kind of explains, all he saw was her whispering into the ear of a cop that was beating him, and he walks away. And so, I suppose in his position, like, what could she possibly have said to make him do that other than some sort of, like, code word or, you know, there's something going on here. They're in cahoots, sort of thing. She tries to explain. It's like, no, I just begged him to stop. It's like, oh, it doesn't seem like that's what happened. So he, I guess, is feeling betrayed by that, and because he, I guess, if from his point of view, she's in cahoots with the cops, then like their whole relationship is a lie, right? Like she's trying to infiltrate their movement, not actually work with them. And you know he talks about how they met and how she was like looking at flyers for their meetings and stuff, I think, and was really enthusiastic about joining. And she's like, well, this is why you're enthusiastic about all this, because it's because you wanted to infiltrate it and undermine it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I see where it's coming from, but I mean, like, do they not have a bit of trust? They've been married for a year.
Yeah. I mean, there must be more than that, right? It's just. Like, why would that be so weird that someone would want to be involved in his cause? Does he think it's that ridiculous that someone would be enthusiastic about it?
Also, it doesn't seem like at all that she's trying to hinder them, like, or undermine what they're doing. Like, she's very active in trying to, help their cause.
I wonder what he thought her calling off the cop would have been. Like, we need this guy. For some reason, because I'm undermining them, so don't kill him.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. There's
logic
one.
In there somewhere, I'm sure. And probably being in that position, you would be prone to some paranoia, or you'd need to be.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. You'd be used to not trusting people, or used to being taken advantage of or whatever.
So Diego, Lila and Five go to this gala where the Majestic 12 are going to be. They have to sneak in. For some reason, I thought they were going to be able to get in by the front door, but they jump a fence and...
They weren't invited to this gala event.
Five tells Lila or Leela that he doesn't trust her.
It's Lila.
Lila. He says he doesn't trust Lila. And she's like, whatever. And then...
he's like, Diego's fallen for your bullshit, but I don't trust you.
And then...
I'm not sure if that's like Five having a bit of insight there, or I think he just doesn't trust anybody, really. So I don't know if that's particularly special. I don't think he knows anything more than... you know, he's letting on or anything like that. I think he's just being naturally untrustworthy of people.
Well, because it...
Sorry, untrusting. Sorry.
It looks like later that she sort of wins his trust, strangely. When I thought he was going to, like, see through her, when she sort of saved his ass later, I'm like, I thought he was going to be like, wow, she fights very well for someone who's never talked about being into fighting.
Yeah.
And, but he's like, oh, maybe she is on our side.
Yeah, well, I mean, because she is, isn't she?
Yeah.
At least in the way that it's her job to protect Five. But the handler in the earlier scene was like, if you want to kill someone, just kill Diego. It's like, she's not really all on the same team,
no.
but at least for now, Five and Lila have their interests aligned somewhat.
So they sneak in. Diego also says something, and he seems like there's a little bit of doubt in his mind about Lila as well. Lila?
Yeah, because he's like, Five goes off to, I don't know, go find Sir Reggie at this dinner party, and Lila goes to follow him, and Diego's like, hey, where are you going? And she's like, what? And he's like, where, you just, you know, you're disappearing again. Where were you? Where'd you go last night? And she covers for it by saying that she went to the pharmacy to get something for his stab wound.
Yeah.
But like all night?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't believe that.
And it was weird because
she
goes,
an all-night pharmacy.
Are we going to do this now? Like it was, like you'd only say that if it is an actual thing.
Yeah.
If you'd just gone to the pharmacy, you'd say, you wouldn't say, are we going to do this now? You'd say, oh, I was just at the pharmacy.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, and then Diego sees across the room a blonde woman, and he goes over to her, and it is at least the actor who plays the robot mum from season one, Grace.
Yeah.
But she has a different accent. A thicker southern.
One thing that happens just before this, that I thought was interesting was Diego and Lila dancing, and sort of, it was in this scene where I realized that Lila and Diego, they kind of aren't so different. Like Lila, they've kind of had similar upbringings, haven't they? They've both had overbearing parents that are training them to be assassins, basically.
Yeah.
But obviously neither of them know that about each other. Well, maybe Lila knows that about Diego. I don't know. We don't know what Lila knows. Anyway. So, yes, you're right. Diego spots a woman, and it's their mother, Grace. But younger, I think, it seems.
But, yeah,
I suppose.
And also well before she was needed to be invented for young Vanya as a nanny.
That's right.
So I guess we're to assume that this is the real woman who Reggie based the robot on?
Yeah.
Or
I think so. She's clearly more of a more human-like.
Yeah.
Or you know, has more of a personality than the Grace that we know from season one.
And she also said Diego asked her, "Oh, do you know Sir Reggie?" And she says, oh, he's my date tonight. And then Diego's like, oh, that's disgusting. Yuck. Can't even picture it. Gross. I'm spewing up. I'm going to spew.
Because I guess, is this because Diego thinks that, well, I guess Diego just doesn't want to think about his parents on a date.
Yeah, it's a weird
but
reaction.
But also I wonder if he, but is he assuming that Grace is a robot at this stage as well?
Yeah, like, I don't know.
Because he maybe doesn't know when Grace was built.
Oh, true. And I mean, we don't either. Grace. It could still be a robot Grace.
Yeah, but we based on a scene in the first season, we assume that she was created to deal with Vanya,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Vanya's outbursts. She was killing all the human nannies. So yeah, that was interesting. Fun. And we sort of wonder where that's going. And then...
Yeah, it makes me think she's going to die or something, and then Sir Reggie, I don't know, ends up just making a robot of her likeness, which is a bit of a creepy idea.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
They cut away to Luther, who's eating like 7 plates of food. He's got a real big appetite, being a huge.
He's eating his feelings.
Yes, and then Allison wanders past, luckily, and then they have a long embrace. That was an interesting effect there, not super special effect, but while they were hugging, all the other people at the cafe disappeared. And then they stop hugging.
It's like they're the only two people in the world for that moment. It's a fun little thing.
Yeah, it was a cute little bit. And then,
but this is the first time they've seen each other in the 60s, yeah. Right? So it's been more than a year they've been apart from each other now, and but both in the same city. I guess Dallas is a big place,
And it's very segregated as well. We found.
Yes, that's a good point. So, this is the first time they've seen each other in this time period. So there's a bit of awkward small talk there as they kind of catch up. They sort of find that between them, they've been in touch with the whole gang.
Yeah. So, it's a bit of a chance to recap kind of where everyone's at.
Yeah. And Luther fills in Allison about the impending apocalypse.
Yes. Oh, yes. Is she the last one to know?
She must be, yeah. She's been the most separate of all of them so far. Like, she's the only one that Five hasn't found for some reason, right?
Then we cut to Vanya, and she's explaining everything to Sissy, the woman who brought her in on the farm. And how much does she explain? I don't really remember explaining that much. But then Harlan runs away.
Yeah, she doesn't talk about the apocalypse and stuff, but she basically just says, what does she say about her absence? I guess she was with her brothers and stuff, but she basically just says she has to leave. She kind of leaves it fairly mysterious as to why. But yeah, she says and in fact, I don't even know why Vanya feels like she has to leave the farm. I guess she does feel like she has a duty to help out with the apocalypse thing. Or she just wants to go.
She thinks the Swedes are after her, I think. And with good reason, they ran her off the road.
Yeah, right. So maybe she just wants to run away just leave all
of
this.
I think she was kind of, she didn't want to bring trouble to this nice farm family. Sissy and her boy.
That makes sense.
So, but then the boy, Harlan, he runs out. And
because he overhears her saying that she has to leave, and so he's straight away in tears. He runs away.
She finds a little duck that maybe he was wearing or something. It's floating on this little dam or little pond on their farm.
Yeah.
So she uses her powers in this new way, where she just lifts the water out of the pond, and then is able to walk into it because she sees him there, and then brings him out and resuscitates him. Oh. She resuscitates him. Do you notice this? By breathing into him, the little glow specks that we saw Reggie release in the glass. So it's like these are the things that gives him powers, right? Or something.
Maybe it gives him powers. I guess it gives him life in this case.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm not thinking it's giving him powers, but I think it's like some sort of a physical representation of Vanya's powers.
Right.
And maybe that was somehow when he released that jar, was that somehow did they all go land in women around the world and impregnate them or something? I don't know. I was trying to think what that meant.
That's interesting.
Because it was clearly a reference to that.
Yeah, definitely.
That sounds
So this is the second time Vanya's used her powers in this time period. And again, it didn't seem like a conscious thing. She just saw the duck thing of his and feared for his life that he was drowned under the water. Almost sort of subconsciously raised the water and pulled him out. These specks, he was dead, I guess. Like his lips were blue. Yeah. It looked like that was it for him, and so I guess these little specks brought him back to life.
Yeah, I think so. That's surely what we were meant to think.
Yeah, and then Sissy catches up, and is obviously pretty happy to find him there and alive. We cut away to Luther coming home to his angry landlord, who's patching up the brickwork.
But it turns out he's not so angry, more scared of Jack Ruby. He's like, you're on his shit list and I don't want to be on it either, so you got to go. So he kicks him out. He's like, please, evicted. I'll fix the wall. He's like, nah, you got to go. So he's, I guess this is further just trying to push Luther back towards his family. He can't even stay in his place anymore. He's going to have to maybe go back to the family for support or whatever. Then we're back, it's sort of a few hours later, I guess, and Vanya and Sissy are having a drink, talking about Harlan. And then they make out for a bit.
Yeah, so Sissy is really shaken by the sort of, you know, the brush with death, I guess, or Harlan's brush with death. And yeah, it's just a bit of a tender moment. She's explaining how lonely she feels because obviously her husband, we've barely seen him through the show, like he's not really in the picture. So she doesn't feel like she really has much of a connection with her husband, and she can't really connect with her son either because of his autism. So she is just explaining that she feels very lonely. And yes, she kisses Vanya and Vanya kisses back. And so it goes.
And then we cut to Luther and Elliot, the conspiracy theory guy, offers Luther some nitrous oxide, like a laughing gas.
Yeah, so Luther goes to Elliot's place. I think, yeah, that's it, yeah. Yeah, Elliot goes Luther goes to Elliot's place looking for Five because he needs a place to crash. So, yeah, I guess he's crashing with Diego and Five and Lila now at Elliot's place. Elliot recognizes him from the alley. He's like, oh, you're from the alley, which is, I guess, a confusing thing to hear for Luther years later, I guess. And offers him some nitrous.
And then they have a sort of tripping scene where they're laughing about everything, including Luther telling Elliot that everyone's going to be dead in 7 days. Because they were kind of relating on how both their lives aren't going quite to plan. Elliot's wife left him on their 10th anniversary. And
for his best friend or something like that.
All these sad bits and pieces from their lives. And then Luther said, it doesn't really matter. We're all going to be dead in 7 days. And there was a pause. And then they pissed themselves laughing about it. Bit of fun.
Yeah. But I'm guessing that will come back.
Yeah. Then we go back to the Majestic 12 gala and Five zaps himself into a cupboard inside the meeting room where Reggie and the other 11 are chatting about JFK and the assassination. And Reggie hears Five in the cupboard and goes over and sort of stabs him through the cupboard, but before he's able to do that, Five zaps himself out in the hallway just in time to get attacked by one of the Swedes. And then
I love the idea that Sir Reggie breaks out of this secret meeting to just go stab a closet.
Yeah, and then opens
to everybody else in the room. There's no one in there.
No one else heard anything.
They must think he's crazy.
Yeah, that was a wild maneuver.
We know that Five was in there, but anyway, and at the very first lines of overheard dialogue in this meeting is that, so are they're plotting to kill JFK because he's poking into the Roswell stuff? Is that what they're talking about?
I was not paying enough attention this episode.
I didn't quite follow what was going on here either, but it sounds like they're trying. I don't know. Yes, it is. It does seem to be leaning right into all the conspiracy stuff around the 60s,
right?
I don't know. But yeah, so Five jumps into the hallway and it's obviously clear from all this that that Sir Reggie is the 12th member of the
Yeah.
What is it?
The Majestic 12.
The Majestic 12? whatever that means. So yeah, he's basically a he's in this shadow government, this secret committee that's running things behind the scenes, and apparently
the eccentric 12.
You could call them that. But you know,
so Diego's in the hallway fighting two Swedes, and Five's got the third Swede fighting him. And Leela comes in, and she sort of has to choose between the two, and she's torn briefly because it seems like she has some feelings for Diego. Diego asks for her help as he's being strangled. But then the voice of the handler rings through her ear saying, protect Five at all costs. So she goes and protects Five by sort of choking out the guy by putting her legs around his head and then flipping him over. Which is quite a full-on move.
Pretty slick move.
I would have thought. Five's watching this, and he's not like, whoa, you're trained in some cool fighting. For someone who, as far as we knew, was just a patient. I mean, patients can be good fighters. I don't know why.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we don't really know anything about her past.
I would have thought that Five's, would have been like, hey, what's going on here? But he was just like, hey, she is on my side. And it just looked like he sort of trusted her more than. Whereas Diego must be like, well, that was weird for her to choose to save Five, who was in a one-on-one, rather than me, who was in a two-on-one.
And this is where it felt to me that it seemed pretty clear that the commission, we don't know what the commission is doing. Like, does the commission, are the Swedes the commission, or is the handler the commission? Because they can't, surely they can't both be working at the behest of the handler, right? This clearly is that they're not on the same team.
She did try and clear that up. She said, it was meant to look that way. If they wanted to kill you, you'd be dead already.
Yeah, yeah. She's like, oh, it's all a performance. Yeah. But I don't get, I don't know.
What's the point of that performance?
There's more. Exactly. Because, I mean, they haven't, in terms of, like, killing people, they have not been very effective. I mean, they killed that woman to live in her house.
Yeah, and they killed that guy when he pretended to be a milkman but just shot him.
Oh,
the guy on the front desk at the...
Yeah, the police station. Or whatever. Oh, no, the asylum. I don't know. They seem to be killing randos, but they don't seem to be... It's hard to know whether they genuinely want to kill the Umbrella people, or if they are just putting on a show for some reason. But yeah, I'm not. I don't know.
And then the final thing we see is that Reggie is leaving with Grace, and Five yells out something in, I don't know. Oh, hang on.
It's Greek, I think. It's ancient Greek.
Apparently, it's something from one of Homer's works, in ancient Greek. And Reggie sort of clocks it, but doesn't stop, and he heads off anyway. Grace was like, what was that about? And I think he's like, no big deal.
Yeah, but it definitely got his attention.
So it was obviously maybe Five knew that was one of his favorite passages or something.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, so that's the episode. So it was, I don't know. I mean, it was still good, but it was probably my least favorite one of this season so far.
Yeah, it feels like it's there was information in there, but it didn't feel like heaps was happening really. It did sort of clarify things a bit, and we do have this new Majestic 12.
Yeah, that's true.
It's definitely a revelation, and it seems like Sir Reggie is, you know, at least partly responsible for the assassination of JFK.
Yeah, so when that video of him on the grassy knoll, maybe that was, unless he's. Potentially, he's not, you know, he could be a double agent inside the Majestic 12. You know, there's so many twists and turns that are still to come, obviously, but... So, that is the episode. Do you want to go through some feedback from listeners? I tried to find... Because it was vaguely recently, someone told the scorpion and the frog thing in a movie or a TV show, and the person who they were telling it to, they thought they're like... So I'm the frog, and the guy's like, no, you're the scorpion. And I can't remember what it was, but apparently it's been used in a bunch of different shows and movies. Yeah. Like,
is it an Aesop
fable? I think it was possibly at one point.
Yeah, right.
So What's some of the... It was in Heroes, Angels, Buffy, Star Trek. It was part two of Star Trek Voyager episode Scorpion.
Huh. Yeah, I think I remember that. Yeah, I've definitely heard it before, so that's probably where I've heard it, is Star Trek or Buffy or something like that.
Yeah, it looks
like
it's being used in a lot of things, but I just cannot put my finger on where I saw it recently. But yeah, it's funny that it's come up twice, and now I realize, oh, this is just a thing, it's just a big thing everywhere. It's just a famous one. It looks like it was used in the Golden Girls, Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, right. And it basically just means you can't escape your
nature. I guess so. Even if you're, at your own demise.
Yeah.
I'm gonna stop looking, but yeah, if anyone knows what I might be talking about, let me know. But it looks like it could be a million different things. It's in The Crying Game, Natural Born Killers, Dog Man. I haven't seen any of those films, so I don't think it's any of those.
Dog Man.
Superman 2, Batman Forever. I get this isn't, it's not always, some of these it's more like played out. It's not they're not actually mentioning it. Sometimes it's just like the trope of.
Yeah, right.
The Scorpion. Anyhow, if you want to get involved in some feedback on the show, there's a link in the show notes. Just click on that and you can fill out a little form like many people have done before. There was one I saw that I missed, or maybe it was sent through after we'd done the episode, but it was from Tyler in Michigan. It was about season 1, episode 2. Let's see what he says. He says, "Hey, guys. I'm so happy you guys are continuing on with season 2. My question is, if you could add an 8th sibling to the family, what would they be like and what would their powers be?"
Huh. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's a good question. What are the classic ones that... I mean, there's no flying man.
Yeah.
Or woman.
Yeah, I was going to say super speed, but I guess 5 kind of.
Yeah, he sort of does that.
He can zap around and stuff.
What about...
Invisibility is a classic one, but...
What about someone who can... Whatever they draw comes real.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's I can see that being an addition to these guys.
Like, they're under pressure. There's a big apocalypse scene and they're going, "Give me a second. Someone
give
grab
me
a piece of paper and a pencil."
yeah, pretty fun.
So the limitation of it is they've got to be able to find the pencil. So you'd be able, wise, you'd be able to write reasons why they can't do that. They broke their hand.
It pens out of
ink. Exactly. God damn it. I was only one small part of this picture away from saving the world. Tyler hasn't given us his own. He's broken your rule.
Oh.
What about you, Ev? What do you think?
Yeah, I'm not sure. There's so many possible powers. I just keep going back to the sort of default ones, like invisibility and flying and all those sort of things.
There's no invisible person.
I reckon it's like a fire person would be cool. Get some fire going on.
The Human Torch.
Yeah.
Is that the classic fire person? Is he the one from the Fantastic Four? Because one of them's a Human Torch, isn't they? Isn't they? Aren't they?
I think so. I'm not good at... That sounds
right. Fantastic
Four
is one that I never got into because the movies were always meant to be lame. I never even saw them.
Yeah, didn't like
apparently
the
comic
saw.
Books are
yeah,
quite
Yeah, because they're DC,
good.
Not...
They're meant to be really like a classic team, but they just never did it that well on the big screen. Tyler does go on to say, "Also, it's my birthday on the 11th. I don't know if the 11th of what. Happy birthday for then if it was in the past, or happy birthday for then if it's in the future." It says, "As a birthday wish, I was wondering if you could please plug my Instagram account. At @thug_Caesar. I understand if you don't.
No, we won't. We won't.
Well, luckily he understands if we won't. But just to let you know, it is almost primate based, lol. Thanks again. Well, I think that should prick up some people's bloody interest. A primate related.
I think you peak interest.
Pinterest. Yeah. What?
What?
Thank you, Tyler, for that message. This one's from Ben Johnson from Milton Keynes in England. Met Ben a couple times. Lovely man. He writes, "Hey, Matt and Evan. Sorry, not primates related, but just want to ask Evan where I can get my hands on one of those red stupid old Studios mugs I saw in a recent Jimmy James The Jaming Show. By the way, I'm loving having the show back. Keep up the great work, Ben." Cheers, Ben. Are they any available, Ev?
We don't have any of them available. We had like a few dozen of them made. There's some around the office.
Oh, so I could get one.
But you could get, yeah.
And I could
you
pass
could
it on to Ben. If Ben ever... In this post-COVID world, I don't know how soon Ben will be popping down to Melbourne, but...
Maybe we should... We've had a few people ask about those.
Do another run.
I guess they are cool. We should do another run and we should sell them on the website or something. New source of income.
Yeah. I mean, in this post-COVID world, we've got to look at all options. Should do. I was thinking about that today, maybe doing another run of primates beanies, seeing as we're back. They sold out real quick. I guess if anyone's interested, maybe I made 100 the first time, so maybe there was exactly 100 people who wanted one.
It's always winter somewhere.
Thanks, Ben. This next one's from Zach in Hawaii. Zach writes, "Hi, Matt and Evan. So glad you guys are back and the Monkey House is in full swing. I had a blast listening to your reviews of the first season of Umbrella Academy, and I'm really excited to hear you tackle season 2. My question for you is, if you were to end up in Sir Reginald Hargreaves' shoes, monocle, eccentric hat, and all, where you have adopted 7 superpowered children, what would you name your academy?" And he's listed some suggestions. One of them, the Umbrella Academy, which I think...
That's a good ring to it.
Monkey Academy is pretty good as well. And also Banana Academy. I think that's my favorite of those. The Banana Academy. Makes as much sense as Umbrella
Maybe
Academy.
Maybe if you bought a banana factory in the 60s. Was that in the... No, it looked like it was more like
turn of the century.
Turn of the century. Whatever that means. What does turn of the century mean?
1900s? Normally, now it'll start to mean early 2000s, but it means early 1900s, right. I think, normally when people say it.
Just the start of the
turn,
century.
As the century turns.
Or the end. Sure.
I assume.
Yes.
I've been wrong before. Well, you put those in my head. Now I can't think for myself. What about Can Academy? I'm looking at things in front of me.
I thought you meant like the Khan Academy, which is the online... Is that like an online learning
that's
thing?
That's what I meant. Khan Academy. Sounds like you're supporting Academy. Khan Academy.
Yeah.
Khan of Boys.
You can do it.
Khan of Sinus. What about...
Microphone Academy.
Pretty good. Wall Academy.
Adobe Audition.
Light Academy is pretty fun. What about Lightning Academy? That's cool. You'd have the lightning strike as a symbol. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's great. I'd call it the Jimmy James Academy.
We should get someone to illustrate the mascot of the show, Jimmy James.
Yeah.
Is he? Do you think he looks like a little cricket, like whatever that guy's name is?
Like Jiminy Cricket?
Yeah.
Is that... Yeah,
Jimmy James. A little gaming cricket. Zach, what? I'm so sorry that those answers sucked. Great question, though. But I think Lightning Academy. I don't know if that's fun, but I think that's a good one. All right. Thank you, Zach, from Hawaii. Simon from the UK writes, thought I'd try to help you clarify with the confusion about the timeline of Five's first apocalypse. Oh, I remember we were a bit confused about this a few weeks ago, Ev. Because yes,
I remember the confusion.
Yeah, I can't even remember how we were confused. Anyway, let's let Simon fix it for us. In the original timeline, before Five jumps back in time and changes things, the world ends after a big confrontation in the Umbrella Academy building between Vanya and Leonard and the rest of the Academy, which is why in that timeline, Luther was holding Leonard's glass eye. However, Five coming back changed the timeline of the events, and so instead, the Academy gets destroyed the day before the world ends instead. So even though in both timelines, the apocalypse still happens, the timeline of the events was different. Of course, yes, that is... It's obvious now that you say that.
Yeah, right. And
some of those things are just coincidental that the Academy was exploded separately and stuff.
Yeah, right. So, but we never see that version of the apocalypse where Leonard is there.
No, but we do see him with the eye. I guess we're just led to assume.
That's interesting. Yeah, I didn't. I wonder if that
explode in that one? Probably not, because the Earth needs the moon to survive, doesn't it? Isn't the moon quite important?
Yeah, but I mean, if it's an apocalypse, then...
Yeah, but Five lived through, like, Earth didn't... Earth was still livable for Five for decades longer.
Yeah,
I thought it wasn't it something about their version... the moon, like, keeps... It's like, it'd be something about it's got its own gravitational pull and...
It controls the tides.
Yeah. I mean, that's got to be important. We need to get some sort of Sandy Matthews on to explain all this.
Yeah, I feel like you can't just blow up the moon. Yeah, it would throw the Earth out of its regular orbit, right? And then it would wind up being...
It would just float off.
Further off, closer to the sun. Well, it would still be orbiting the sun, but it might move closer or further away from the sun, and a small adjustment there would mean the climate would change significantly.
Maybe solving climate change.
I don't know.
Maybe all we need to do is blow up the moon. Worth a try, at the very least.
Further away from the sun.
This next one comes from a nameless person. They forgot, or maybe on purpose didn't put in their name.
That's mysterious.
Never written. This season is so enjoyable. Oh, that's nice. I love the reading these. The feedback.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to put my name to a comment like that either.
That's pretty controversial. this season is so enjoyable. I think I'd almost like it a lot if you two, when you're planning on watching the same show, just did a little podcast like this. Maybe a separate podcast so it didn't have to have primates. I don't mean like a strictly scheduled podcast.
It's weighing us down.
Yeah, it is. Just if there's maybe a big show dropping that everyone's watching and you think it will be interesting, just recording a few pods to discuss. Because this is so nice. But then that that would be a lot of extra work, so understandable why you wouldn't. Love the pod. You have to do Avatar The Last Airbender when season 2 is done and you decide to bring primates back closer to its original form. Well, thank you, nameless person. That's a good suggestion. So I thought they were saying that we do a separate one, but they're saying an extra podcast.
More podcasts.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, primates has an uncertain future in that it kind of ended and then came back again for this series.
But maybe we could start a separate podcast called Binge Boys.
Yeah,
or something. Yep. I mean, we can work on the name. Maybe we could call it Lightning Academy.
Screen mates.
Yeah,
that's not very good. It also that sort of boxes us into doing screen related.
You don't want to do that. It could be we want to keep it.
No, what if we wanted to branch out into maybe like podcasts? I was thinking we could do a podcast.
What about supermarket catalogs? Oh, what's on the specials this week? Bananas. Oh, yeah. they're 99 cents a kilo. Great value.
Yep. That'd be fun. I'm sure we watch a lot of the same shows, just not necessarily in sync with each other. Whereas this is kind of fun because we're watching it week to week. At least now we are.
I watched this season so long ago if it wasn't for this show, but I'm saving them for the day of recording each week. And we record them on the day that we put them out. Basically, we both watch it Thursday afternoons, Melbourne time, record it early Thursday evening and put it out Thursday night. It's so very topical stuff. We can be exactly up to date. Like, for instance, I can say, everyone saw Melbourne Storm win the NRL grand final on Sunday. But, I mean, that's days ago now. What's something more topical?
There were three COVID cases today. We've been looking at closely because we had 2 days in a row with zero donuts. New cases.
And donuts became a big meme.
Donuts.
Very Umbrella Academy.
Yeah, I love donuts. But I didn't even have any donuts and I was very disappointed that I didn't because I could have and I let myself down. Donut. And all of you.
Normally you think of having donuts as letting yourself go, but not having donuts is letting yourself down.
Yeah,
I've had more donuts this lockdown. Probably for the last 5 years. I've been going donut mad, loving the donuts.
They're great. But we're out of lockdown now, which means we'll get back in the actual monkey house.
Yeah, I think we'll record next week in the same room.
The official monkey house.
Back in the pod studio. Very exciting stuff.
What was the question? They were suggesting we do another podcast. Okay.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we could do that. If there's a show that comes up, like, we could do the Mandalorian season 2 is coming out soon. Probably don't want to be doing two shows at once, but I'm sure there'll be shows. There's lots of good shows out. We could do something. If anyone has any suggestions of new shows coming out.
When we're done with this.
Ideally, you want to know that they're good shows before we commit to doing a episodic podcast about it, but something like The Mandalorian would be great because we've seen season 1, we know that it's good, and now season 2 is coming out, so that's an option.
And it's also got the Sklavorkian monkey lizard or whatever it was.
Oh yeah,
that was our tenuous link to which upset a few listeners when we did an episode on it.
Was I on that? I don't remember that at all.
Oh, maybe you weren't.
I'm sure
Cass Page was on it, and maybe Adam Carnevale.
I've been on with them, and I don't remember.
Yeah, right. Maybe you weren't. Otherwise, you'd remember that monkey lizard because we talked about it a little bit.
I vaguely recall it.
All right, maybe we'll do a couple more here. This one's from Jay Cormack from Port Allen in Louisiana, I reckon.
What do you mean?
Unless it's a suburb of LA.
Yeah, right.
It's also possible. I'm trying to go through the L states in my head. I think there's only one. Jay says, I think they said the Sir Reggie numbered them based on usefulness to him. But I reckon it's just the order in which he discovered / adopted them. Ah, right.
Fairly arbitrary then.
Yeah, it does sound it's a bit arbitrary. But it also, I mean, I reckon you can make the case. It does feel like on 1 to 7 is sort of their seniority. But maybe that's sort of a labeling theory thing where Luther was told he was number one, so he grew up feeling like the leader.
Yeah, but I reckon nominative determinism or something?
Yeah, that's true. This would be numerative determinism.
Yeah. yeah, numerative, maybe.
Numerative. Oh, okay. If you wanted to sound more sensible.
yeah, that's interesting. I mean, the show can have named them, based on that logic, but it can still be true that Sir Reggie, the character, named them arbitrarily. It seems fitting with his character that he named them arbitrarily. He doesn't seem to really care.
No, but he also seems like he's kind of calculating at the same time, right?
Yeah.
Like I reckon he does care about results and how he can manipulate them.
It's true.
Yeah, I wonder what Gerard Way...
I'm not that...
He'd go by... Do you reckon he'd go by Jezza?
Jez. Probably to his friends.
Yeah.
I don't know him that well, though.
No, you wouldn't assume. This one's from Rich Compo from Everett Washington.
Rich Compo.
Does this make sense to you? It says option 22. That's what he's filed this under. Either.
What?
That's possibly a glitch in my system where I've left that as an accidental option, or it's a reference to something that I don't get. Either way, I love your work, Rich. And your name, Rich Compo, sounds like you've had a great payday after you broke a leg at work.
Yeah.
Rich writes, I've really enjoyed your recap of season one, and I'm so happy Primates is back. I haven't seen season two yet, but I don't care about spoilers, and I'm looking forward to the season two recap. After watching the show, are you or Evan going to read the comics? Oh, I have never really read comics.
Neither have I. Not a comic book guy.
Maybe I'd watch a video of someone reading the comments. I'm reading the comments, reading the comics. Is there a is there an audio book of the comics? Maybe I should
an
just read comics.
An audio book of the comics?
Yeah.
They're bloody like graphic. Why would you say something so silly, Matt?
I don't know. I feel silly, and I'm glad you called me out on it. Rich goes on to say, oh, maybe I will, Rich, if you reckon I should. I'm not.
I feel like that'll just confuse me because the rules are slightly different between them.
Right.
And I feel like my brain hasn't got capacity to have two Umbrella Academy universes going on at once.
Okay. So Rich goes on to say, I also want to suggest that you recap the cartoon Avatar: The Last Airbender. The main character has a pet. It's a winged lemur named Momo. There is a lot of hype behind this show, and I just want to confirm that this show lives up to all the hype. Thanks for bringing the pod back, and chimp you later. Cheers, Rich. Yeah, that does get suggested a bit. I always hear good things about it, so maybe we should, but it is like it's a multiple series. I think there was a film and then multiple episodical.
Yeah, I wonder if there's an episode that you could watch to sort of get the gist of it.
Yeah, or is he suggesting we go through all the seasons and recap it all?
I assume there's a lot of it, but that might be a guess. I know like a lot of animes like are quite long lasting. They go a long time. I've never really watched it. It's been on, and I'm aware of it. I've sort of seen it in passing, but I've never sat down and watched Avatar: The Last Airbender.
I have a funny feeling that it's going to be really good, just based on what everyone says.
Yeah, it does say, yeah, but I wonder if it's like good in a it's a kids cartoon sort of a way.
Oh, right.
Or good in a more good way.
Good for everybody.
You know, like, yeah. I like
There's
the Powerpuff
no
Girls, but it's
nostalgia associated.
Yeah, no nostalgia. No. I like the Powerpuff Girls, but I'm nostalgic for it. I like
Yeah, watching that with you was like, I mean, I can sort of see why it's a bit of fun, but it's
yeah,
you know, a bit of fun. Yeah. Throwaway stuff.
Yeah, I'm not going to get deeply invested in, you know, watching a whole season.
Last one comes from Grant in Ontario. And I'll save this for last because it is about the episode we just recapped, season 2, episode 4. Grant writes, did you notice the Billy Madison Easter eggs in this episode? I did not.
No.
It says, when Klaus falls off the wagon and is in the liquor store, the song Renegade by Styx is playing, which is the same song that is playing when Billy falls off the wagon. If that's too much of a stretch, I mean, that could be a subtle nod.
Yeah.
He says, if that's too much of a stretch, the sequence ends with Klaus arriving at Billy Madison's house. It's the same mansion that Billy Madison was filmed in.
Oh.
As well as some scenes in The Boys. All the best. I totally missed that. That's amazing.
I've never seen Billy Madison.
Oh, it's a great film.
Yeah? Adam Sandler?
Shampoo is better. It goes on first and cleans the hair. Conditioner is better. It goes on second and makes the hair silky and smooth. What are you looking at, Schwan?
Classic stuff. It's all good stuff.
Okay.
Miss okay. Veronica Vaughn is one fine piece of ace.
Or something like that. What is a kid? I don't know how
Sounds
much
great.
Of... And that, well, this is that's Chris Farley, the bus driver.
Okay.
And Adam Sandler's like, what? Because Chris Farley's being sleazy. And
yeah.
Billy Madison's like, nah. And he goes, yeah, me and her got it on. And Billy Madison goes, no, you didn't. And he goes, You can imagine what it would be like if you did, though. I think, anyway, it's good stuff.
Saw something
Everyone
recently,
on the bus, good, great, grand.
So I saw something recently about how Adam Sandler's love interests in his films always start with V. Their names are always V. Or V,
Veronica
even double V.
Vaughn, double V.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, maybe they're all double V. I'm not sure.
Oh, interesting. That's a sweet Easter egg.
Yeah.
It was interesting. You mentioned Renegade by Styx. The other songs in this were Love is Blue by Marty Robbins, Unwind Yourself by Marva Whitney, and I Was Made for Loving You by Kiss.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, good music this week.
Yeah. But yeah, that brings us to the end of the episode. I've got to go do a Phrasing the Bar episode now for the Do Go on Patreon.
Never stop potting.
Never stop potting. So if anyone's keen to get involved in that, you can support this show and also get bonus episodes like Phrasing the Bar, a podcast dedicated to the films of Brendan Fraser. And you can get them on board with that at patreon.com/dogoonpod. Evan, if people want to support Gamey Game on Patreon, they can go to patreon.com/gameygameygame?
Just Gamey Game.
Gamey Game.
Or gameygame.com/patreon.
Okay, yeah, so gameygame.com is where you'll get everything. Just go there and you can see it all.
Yeah.
Maybe if you haven't seen it yet, you're like, why do I want to support it on Patreon? Well, watch it first. Watch it, enjoy it, get involved in it, and then
look,
support
if you're thinking about supporting the Patreon, maybe just go straight for the Patreon.
I don't want to waste time.
Yeah.
There's limited spots.
You don't want to put up any barriers, you know?
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. Just dive right in.
Path of least resistance.
And they can also check you out on Twitch on Saturday mornings, Melbourne time.
Twitch,
and there's a link
Twitch
in the show notes here too.
Twitch.tv/stupidoldEvan. That's me.
And Evan's social medias and my social medias are also in the show notes. Follow us both. Why don't you? Interact with us. Let's chat on the World Wide Web.
Yeah.
Let's get involved. Hey, that's the thing about the internet, man. It's shrinking the world down. We can all communicate.
Yep. It's like our own little podcast.
Information is democratized.
It's like our own little text-based podcast.
Yeah. So thanks everyone for tuning in again. We'll catch you next week with episode 5 of season 2 of the Umbrella Academy. If you've got any comments or anything, please click on that link in the show notes and get them in, and I'll read more out at the end of next week's episode. Thanks for joining, Seven. And as we always say here at Primates Podcast,
chimp you later. It's a classic.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.